But a positive story is not the conclusion one naturally draws from the Justice Department's critical report on the Ferguson, Missouri Police Department. Even though the DOJ said it would not file federal civil rights charges against shooter Darren Wilson in the Michael Brown case, instead, in 105 scathing pages, the DOJ makes the argument that the Ferguson police were in a racist bubble of their own making, a deeply rooted culture of bias and prejudice that affected who it arrested and how it treated the citizens it was supposed to protect. Now, listen to these highlights. And I know you might be thinking, Ferguson, okay, you can tune out. Well, these are really, really crucial. Listen to this. 90% of documented force used by FPD officers was used against African Americans. In every canine bite incident for which racial information is available, the person bitten was an African American. A November 2008 email, sort of behind closed doors station house humor here, stated that President Barack Obama would not be president for very long because what black man holds a steady job for 4 years? A June 2011 email described a man seeking to obtain welfare for his dogs, this is a joke apparently, because they are mixed in color, unemployed, lazy, can't speak English, and have no frigging clue who their daddies are. Here's what a minister in the community wrote about what he saw in this DOJ report. From police seeing African-American neighborhoods less as constituents to be protected and more as potential offenders and sources of revenue, good Lord, deliver us. From court practices that impose a particular hardship on the most vulnerable residents, especially upon those living in or near poverty, good Lord, deliver us. From police who repeatedly turn dogs exclusively against African-Americans, good Lord, deliver us. Those words in the cadence of a traditional litany were written by Michael Kinman, Dean of Christ Church Episcopal Cathedral in St. Louis. We'll hear from him in a moment. But Missouri State Senator Maria Chappelle Nadal also spoke with us about the challenge of seeking deliverance from the things described in the DOJ report. The 14th district Senator Chappelle Nadal represents includes the city of Ferguson.
All of the feelings that people have had in the region are absolutely valid, but we had no facts. And what information that was brought to us by the Justice Department was quite relevant in validating those feelings that people have had for a very long time. We are finally able to talk about the truth and the reality, and no one can shy away from it any longer, especially with the information that has come out from the DOJ. But I really think, even in my own experience in state government as a bureaucrat and as an elected official, we were always scared as African Americans to speak up too much because of that marginalization, which happens every day. It's systematic within institutions and also, interestingly, within our own Democratic Party. And so it's something we have to reflect on and just move forward so that we can build from this experience and know that the truth is ultimately going to allow us to have a better community.
Michael, when the revelations became public and you began to see what was in the DOJ report, how do you keep the police from suddenly being like the people who wear the badge of racism?
Well, first of all, I agree with Senator Nadal that the report did not reveal anything new to people who've been listening. It's helpful for me as a person of faith and as a faith leader to look at this, first of all, in larger concepts, but also in terms of theological issues. And the key issue here is slavery. And slavery is and always has been an economic system. And in this nation, slavery is the use of black and brown bodies to generate wealth for white people. And that means me as a white person, too. And that helps me from just pointing the finger at somebody else. Now, when I say slavery, people want to say, well, we're done with that, aren't we? But we're not. It looks different. Instead of the slave market, we have the school-to-prison pipeline. And instead of the plantation and the slave master, we have cities like Ferguson, where we have a predominantly white government, court system, and police living off the fruits of the labor of a predominantly black population and using force to extract that wealth. So if the issue is slavery, then there's a theological remedy for that. And we get into that in Genesis and Exodus. And in Genesis, we hear that all people are created in the image of God and are good. And that's when you hear the cry that black lives matter, it's rooted in that theology. But then there's Exodus, which is the theology of deliverance. And we hear that God actually takes sides and speaks to Moses and says, I've observed the misery of my people. I've heard their cry. I know their sufferings. I come down to deliver them. And so the task before us is deliverance. And that means that those of us, and I say us as a white person, who are in that oppressing class, the first thing we have to do is watch and listen. We have to see the misery and hear the cry and intimately know the sufferings and come down to be with those who are in pain. But here's where Exodus is different, because Jesus teaches us that our goal is not defeating an enemy, but converting a heart. And so I could point my finger at the police and I could say, thank God I'm not like that. But as a white man, I look a lot more like Pharaoh than Moses. And so what I need to do is to look at the Department of Justice report, realize that I am someone who benefits from the sin that this reveals, which means I have sin to confess myself, and that I need to start with my own heart. And so we're being called into, our friend Tracy Blackman has said over and over again, as white America, we are being called into a prolonged period of uncomfortability, to listen deeply to these voices and be moved to change ourselves. And frankly, to change an economic system in this country, which the same way it did in 1815, benefits white people on the backs of black and brown people.
Now, Michael, that's very profound and theologically very moving. But to cast whites as the slave master in Ferguson, I don't know how reconcilable that is in terms of moving forward and having a useful police department that doesn't end up being viewed as a sort of evil institution that carries out the slave master's bidding.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think we need to recognize this is the system we have, and then we say, what are the practical steps? And one of the things we have to look at here specific to St. Louis is that we are 90 different municipalities that ring the St. Louis area, and this is not sustainable, and this perpetuates Ferguson's from happening, and Ferguson is not alone. And so there's a movement here in St. Louis called Better Together. And that's not just city and county, that is rich and poor and black and white. And we need to look at how do we dismantle the systems like the parochialism that exists in those 90 different municipalities. How do we come together and build new systems that benefit everyone? And you can't just do little technical fixes. So it's not just, well, how do we get the Ferguson Police Department to be better? No, that's not going to do it. We have to dismantle this whole system and build something new. And that's going to look, this it took us a long time to get here. It's going to take us a long time and a lot of hard work to get to where we need to go.
Senator, do we fire everybody in the Ferguson police?
I don't think that we do. I have been calling for the resignation of Chief Jackson. I also have mm-hmm. called for the disbandment of the police department. Mm-hmm. And I do agree with many people. Not every police officer is bad. But I was thinking earlier when Michael was talking, the phrases that I use are white silence and black betrayal. And there are a lot of people like Michael who have been out, who have been speaking. But I have to tell you, there are people in my own neighborhood who I've gone on long walks with who are now snubbing me on the street because they did not think that what we were fighting for was right. Now that we have the DOJ report, this is information that we can take to people who have been silent for a very long time in this process. These are also the same people who have refused to acknowledge that there is a racial problem that exists and has existed for a very long time. And so while we are having these conversations, a lot of people are going to be stunned and shocked that this is actually happening in their region. There is currently a tale of two cities in Ferguson and in the St. Louis region. And if we don't build that bridge, we won't be able to progress. But we have to, because we have to sustain ourselves.
That's Senator Maria Chappelle Nadal, Missouri State Senator representing Missouri's 14th district. And Michael Kinman is also with us, Dean of Christ Church Episcopal Cathedral in St. Louis. Michael, Senator Maria Chappelle Nadal is describing the difficulty of, you know, having uncomfortable conversations on the street, having strained relations with police who were friends in the midst of all of this. You evoked the book of Exodus a little while ago, And, you know, there's not a lot of forgiveness in the book of Exodus. There's a lot of Red Seas sort of, dumping on people. And in a context of I told you so, which is what this Justice Department report can really be for a lot of people, how do you get to forgiveness and reconciliation?
You don't get to it by jumping too quickly. We love to talk about truth and reconciliation and look at the model of South Africa. There's a lot of truth telling that has to come before we get to reconciliation. There's a lot of deep listening that has to happen before we get to reconciliation. We have to truly hear each other. And a piece of that is building relationships. You can't be in reconciliation with someone when you're not in relationship. St. Louis is one of the top five most segregated metropolitan areas in this country and has been for a long time. We don't know each other across these lines of race and class. We can say this about racism. We can say it about solving homelessness. As long as it's an issue, we're never going to solve it because the people in power are never going to care enough. It's only going to get better. We're only going to have reconciliation when it becomes about true relationship, when it becomes not just about white people coming together with black people, but it becomes about Mike coming together with Maria. The other thing we have to do is we have to have honest conversations about the economics and the money. We've got to follow the money. And there are huge engines in the gun lobby and in the prison industry that benefit incredibly from the current situation and that will defend the status quo because there is tons of money in it. And unless we start talking about those big money generators that have everything to benefit by keeping people of color in poverty and by keeping the policing system the way it is, it's never going to change.
Michael Kimmon is Dean of Christ Church Episcopal Cathedral in St. Louis, and Senator Maria Chappelle Nadal represents Missouri's 14th district.